Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome into another edition of the Cubs Talk Podcast. Tony Andracki here with David Kaplan and Kelly Kroll. As always, we are sponsored by Wintrust. Head to wintrust.com/Cubs for more information. Guys, here we are, the second week of January, or getting into the second week of January. Cubs convention's right around the corner. Jake Arrieta, still a free agent. What's the latest there?
From what I've been told, and I did a bunch of homework this weekend, and I have a column up now at NBC Sports Chicago, the Cubs would definitely like to have Jake back or Yu Darvish. If they can get one of those two, or Alex Cobb. Those are the three guys. But the reports that Jake has already got a firm offer of four for $110 million, from what I've been told, is just not true. Now, would the Cubs do that deal? Yes, I think they would. But I don't think the Boris Corporation is at this point ready to take a four-year deal. They were at seven, but when I'm being told, six is probably where they would settle. I don't see the Cubs doing that. I'll be surprised if a firm guaranteed 6 years. Could they put option years in? I guess. But I'd be stunned, I don't know you about Kel, if they gave six guarantee years to Jake, that would shock me.
Yeah, from the Cubs, absolutely. I think that deal might be out there from another team. I just don't think it would be the Cubs. But I'm curious, I mean, the stalemate that we've seen going on, this is the deepest into the offseason that most, at least, managers and or general managers who are around from winter meetings have said this has ever gone. And I'm just curious, who's going to get first on this cap? Because, I mean, are we going to be looking at it being spring training and we've got, like, I know this is a bad example, but the Dexter Fowler moment where it's like this guy gets whooshed in and it's like, hey, look who we just signed. Like, right. Is that what's going to happen?
We're 5 weeks from that happening, which is crazy.
Top line starters.
I don't believe it.
Something's going to get here soon.
I don't believe it. Owners have always had a problem pushing themselves away from the salary buffet. It's like the fat person who goes, I got to go on a diet, and they can't stop eating. That's how owners are. Oh, wait a minute. I got a call from Scott Boras. I'm going to do this deal anyway. Even though you, the GM and team president, are telling me not to, I know how much money I've got.
So that's agents are banking on.
And the agents are banking on this side collapsing. And from what I was told by two guys in the game, they said, look, for the first time, you have basically all 30 front offices are more analytically driven than ever before. And they will say, Kelly Kroll, you are worth $5 million a year to us for 2 years. Now, if somebody comes along and says, Kelly, we'll give you $12 million a year for 4 years, we are not going to panic and go, we have to have Kelly, so we're going to overpay. We're going to set our number, and we're going to stick to it in large part. The other thing that was said to me was, if you want to play on a team that has no chance of winning, mm-hmm. and there are probably 10 to 12 teams that have no chance of winning whatsoever, they're not even trying, then you're going to get 15% more. Or do you, Jake, you, Darvish, Alex Cobb, want to go somewhere, maybe take 10 or 15% less, but no, I got a chance to win the World Series.
Knowing what you know, Tony, and about Jake Arrieta, does that fit the bill for him or not? Because I think of Jake as an ultimate competitor. I just really do. I mean, sure, coming back to the Cubs offers him that window and the opportunities to continue to win, but there's other winning teams out there too that, I don't know, though, Jake hasn't gotten his big, big money contract yet either. The right one that, like, you know, maybe because Yu Darvish has kind of had that money, he's willing to go to a winner, take a little less. I don't know about Jake. I mean, I wish we could reach out and get him. I mean, Jake's not exactly talking to people, which is per the advisement of Scott Boras and just the way this goes. But I just, that's a hard one for me, just knowing who Jake is. I think he's a competitor. I think he'd be willing to take a little less to be on a winning team. But then again, I mean, I'm sure
how much less?
I don't know. Is it 15% less? I don't know.
Either way, the dude's going to get paid.
He is
going to get paid, like, life-changing. generational money where his kids and grandkids and grandkids' kids are should be good, because Jake Arrieta is going to make $100+ million unless something really crazy happens to this market. So I don't think he's going to get the $200 million that some people thought he might get,
right,
like 4 or 5 months ago, or maybe even a year ago. But I agree with you, Kelly. I do think that he will want to end up on a competitor. But, I mean, he'll still make – somebody's going to end up paying him $120, $130, $150 million to head up the front of that rotation. I don't know if it's going to be a team like the Astros. It sure seems like the Dodgers and Yankees aren't paying any money right now to anybody because they want to get under that luxury tax. But somebody will.
That was the other thing that was emphatically said to me. Hey, that luxury tax is no joke, man.
It's not.
And I had an agent tell me, we screwed up. We should not have ever agreed to a deal where it's so punitive that the rich teams are like, we can't keep exceeding this tax because you lose draft picks. The penalties are so severe.
Yeah. That's really what's kind of changed this whole ballgame. Well, and what you said about the general manager change. We're not looking at these older, go with your gut always,
right,
like guys running
the
teams.
Old
but
scouts
the
used to not value prospects. Give him a prospect. Well, that prospect could be Chris Bryant someday or Carlos Correa someday or, you know, who knows?
I liked that quote in your article about the something to do with the crusty old
scouts.
I right. loved that. I thought that's fantastic.
That's the way it used to be. They'd be at the bar. They would drink. All right, you want Andracki? Give me Krull and those two. All right, you take them. It's not the way it is anymore. Guys,
it did work for a time.
Prospect.
It did.
But that's the thing. So you talk about the luxury tax, and that's clearly at play. There's no salary cap in baseball like there is in the NBA or the NFL or the NHL. We saw that with the Blackhawks, right? They had to get rid of people to stay on their salary cap. The Dodgers just finished paying, I think their penalty after 2017 was like almost $36 million for nothing. They got nothing out of that because they exceeded the luxury tax by so much for the second year in a row. The Yankees have paid the luxury tax 15 years in a row. I mean, these are insane numbers that they're shelling out, and they're not diverting this to a pitcher who could get hurt and only throw one game. They're getting absolutely nothing for this. It's crazy. So the luxury tax and all these penalties, draft picks, like you said, your first pick would have to go 10 picks later. That's insane. That's a huge draft penalty.
Huge. And then you look at who else is still out there. Like, the Cubs really like Alex Cobb. They really, really like him. But they like him at what they perceive to be a reasonable number. Look, he's coming back now a couple, 3 years away from Tommy John surgery. Hasn't found his changeup yet. Hasn't been what you'd go, oh, my God, he's got dominant stuff. But they think it's coming. They think this year could be a breakout year for Alex Cobb. So they offer him basically the Tyler Chatwood contract, maybe a couple million more. And his agents are saying to him, hey, man, don't jump. There's more years and there's more AAV, average annual value, in that deal. Well, at some point, the Cubs are going to move on. If he wants to be here, then he has to express that, hey, to his agents, I want to be there. Let's make a fair deal and let's be in Chicago. And if he doesn't care and he wants the last dollar, then see where it ends up.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, too, who gives first? I think that's something that a lot of fans are wondering who goes first, the players and agents.
Players are saying,
teams?
I've heard it from multiple players or agents.
Yeah, they're anxious.
Hey, man, there's collusion going on. No way all these teams all of a sudden this year have decided to be thrifty with their money. No shot.
But the luxury tax penalties are way worse this year, and everybody's realizing it.
And they're combining with, we are going to set a budget here, and we're going to stick to it, and if we think Alex Cobb's worth 14 or 15, we're not giving him 18 or 19 or wherever the market goes. And from what I've heard, he's being emphatic. Alex, I never asked for 4 for $80. Never. I'm hearing it's more 16 a year, 464. Even in the 50s, you might be able to get him.
At the end of the day, though, the players, I mean, a guy like Arrieta, for example, this is probably the only time he's going to be on the market. I mean, almost certainly the only time he'll be on the market as a 1 or 1A type of free agent. So why not wait? I mean, if he's healthy, which he is, and unless he, you know, unfortunately, like, steps off a curb wrong or something over the next few weeks, he should be, like, wait into spring training. Wait into March. You know, do whatever you can because this is life-changing money. So, like, he can't rush and take $20 million less than if he would have waited a couple weeks. So the players are not going to be the ones to give first, at least in my opinion of how it plays out, because a guy like Alex Cobb, same thing. This is probably the only time that he's going to be out there as one of the premier free agents. So I just don't see them being the ones that cave first. I think, like you said, Cap, I think the owners will eventually cave before
anyone. Yeah, I'm not sure if they will.
I was just going to say, from all the research you did, obviously fans at home are wanting to know how this plays out. What can you say from the conversations you had about how general managers think this is going to possibly go down? I mean, do they think there's that team out there that eventually is going to break, the one that has the money that just doesn't want to make the deal quite yet?
I think they feel like...
And then once it does, like once the dam breaks, we see what it's done every year.
I think they feel like both sides will move a little bit, and then the dam will break and somebody will make a signing. Okay. But I don't think, like in the case of the Cubs, Scott Boras is not going to get Tom Ricketts to write a check that Theo doesn't approve.
Sure.
Now, could that happen in Washington where, you know, the owners of the Nationals who are tight with Scott Boras might say, hey, Rizzo, I'm doing this deal anyway. Mike Rizzo, their GM. I'm signing him. Rizzo. We remember Ilitch in Detroit signing Prince Fielder against the objections of his front office. So it's happened. I just think there's more... It's not being frugal, it's being smart with your money.
Another part of your article said that, you know, which we all expect who've been around the Cubs and around Theo and Jed to be kicking the tires on absolutely everything. The three names you've thrown out this morning are names we've all heard. Who are names that you can or can't talk about that maybe no one's aware of, whether it be pitchers or whether it be a deal that maybe was unexpected? I know Tony and I were shocked when we thought that Javi Baez was being talked about with the Padres, right? Like, that just didn't really make sense. But who are names like that that are out there that we'd be surprised to hear?
So they did kick the tires on Christian Yelich.
Okay.
And from what I was told, with his contract, 5 years of team control left, that they are asking for such an obscene amount of talent.
Can't imagine.
Like, it's not just Javi Baez. It's, we'll take Baez, Russell, and your top prospect because we're giving you a ready-made big league guy at an unbelievably fair contract. And the Cubs are like, yeah, thanks, we're not interested. I had another team tell me, they called on Yelich. And it's, you know, we're getting like the three best players you have in your system. So these GMs are like, guys like that who had Chris Archer, another one. First call on Chris Archer was Baez and Russell. Yeah, you want Archer? He's got 4 years of control at little to no money. We're taking Baez and Russell. No, you're not. And so that's why we're at this stalemate.
But that's what teams want now, and that's what they've been wanting. But they want to move those guys. Eventually, when do they bring that
price
tag down?
But they have to, as one guy said to me, those guys have to put a team on the field.
Yeah.
They have to play.
Of course.
He said, so Christian Yelich, they can afford. They can afford certain guys. Chris Archer, there's no financial reason they have to move him. Right. Each team is getting a $50 million payment for the sale of Baseball Advanced Media to Disney. $50 million to each team. Over a team like the Rays, that covers almost their two-thirds of their payroll.
I mean, that covers Archer's almost the entire rest of the money he's owed for the rest of his contract.
Correct.
$50 million.
So, you know, when you move Mike Stanton or Giancarlo Stanton, you move him because you have to move that obscene amount of money.
And now it took the Yankees out of the free agent market. And
correct.
Cubs are still trying to figure out their closer situation and what is the responsibility we have as a media throughout all these off-season rumors and reports.
Hi, guys.
I'm Tara Lipinski.
And I'm Johnny Weir.
Guess what, Johnny?
What?
The Winter Olympics are right around the corner. And what does that mean?
Yay. That means we get to see Shaun White, Michaela Schifrin, and other top Team USA athletes conquer fresh snow and ice this February on NBC.
So make sure you're ready. Sign up for NBC Sports and Olympics emails by texting POD to 66866, or you can visit nbcolympics.com/newsletters to receive the latest athlete updates, giveaways, and more.
Message and data rates may apply. Winter is here.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC. Now the Cubs are kicking the tires on Greg Holland to see if they can get a closer. I still think that they are trying to pry Alex Colome away from the Tampa Bay Rays. They want another closer. I do not think they feel comfortable going into the season with Brandon Morrow and the other guys in their pen. I don't.
Which isn't really a surprise. I mean, no. Morrow is a guy who, I think, what does he have, 20-ish career saves, somewhere around there. So, yeah, he was really good last year, but he's also had a lot of issues staying healthy over the last few seasons. Guys like Justin Wilson, yeah, he was great, but then look what happened when he came to Chicago.
Right.
So you can't trust relievers. They're so volatile. Theo and Jed talk about that all the time. Relievers are, they're roller coasters every single year. C.J. Edwards is as well. I mean, that dude does not get hit at all, but he walks so many people that if he gives up one hard-hit ball just like that, it's a grand slam, and it changes the entire game. Changes an entire series in October. So I definitely see where they could be going after more relievers. Greg Holland, to me, is not a guy that I could really see make much of a fit. I totally understand if they're kicking tires, but he's a guy that the market would have to come down significantly for, I think, to make sense on the Cubs, just because his injury history as well. I mean, it's a guy like Morrow was only $9 million a year. That's not that big of a deal. But if Holland is getting 16, 18, even closer, like, inching towards that Wade Davis deal, you can't pay that for a guy like Holland, at least from the Cubs' perspective.
The other thing that was interesting, multiple guys have said to me, dude, your industry, talking about what we all do here.
Yeah.
You guys, who holds you accountable? He said, we have to respond to rumors every day. Hey, did you offer Arrieta that? Did you offer Alex Cobb that? Are you trading Javi Baez? He goes, it's literally every day, multiple times a day. He goes, you guys just throw stuff out there. I'm like, whoa, I don't think we do, but yes, it goes on in our industry. And it's driving GMs crazy because of social media.
I can understand that. And truthfully, I was talking about this last night with our producer. I said, who does? It's not like these guys get yelled at. And really, if they get clicks on their page or whatever story it is that they drew up,
then they accomplished what they set out to do.
Happy with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, same with these people on Twitter. I mean, there are rumors going around about, like, the Bears' new head coaching candidate, Matt Nagy. Did he call plays in that playoff game, or did Andy Reid? Like, there were a bunch of rumors online for that, but people got retweets and they got favorites, and people start following these accounts, and it's like they could have absolutely nothing. They could seriously pull it out from, like, whatever. Like, they had a thought while they were driving to work one day, and they tweeted out, and if the right person picks it up, then, yeah, that's all that matters. And they got the attention that they deserve.
And it's driving GMs and agents crazy.
I can imagine. I can imagine. Well, who was it with the Cubs and the Barstool? Barstool Carl. Yeah,
that was Yu Darvish.
Yu Darvish.
Had to pass his physical. Yeah. He's agreed to a deal. And there were multiple people who called me and said, okay, A, who is Barstool Carl?
Right.
And B, it's not true.
And yet that
Yu Darvish said it wasn't true.
Yu Darvish,
himself,
came, so. I mean,
he
that's
tweeted
so,
fake news.
Go. Not only the GMs and the managers, the players are being, like, you know, watching this stuff go around. You know how hard that is for them.
And I love that Barstool Carl's dialed in and trying hard, but you got to be right.
He's gotten some things right before, but this wasn't one of them. Yeah, that was.
But that's who holds players accountable is, or who holds media accountable is the players.
Player.
Yu Darvish tweeting back at that. Is like, I mean, what better way to shut that down is to be Yu Darvish and be like, no, that's not.
And
it.
We have all seen, and Tony's right about that. We have all seen that. You write a story that's incorrect or you quote something wrong, and a player, they'll be the ones to not give you that access again. They'd be the ones to not appreciate it and tell you no
because,
more interviews or whatever. And we've all seen that happen to people.
Because guys
don't.
Have families, and
sure.
They come home from working out. And their wife or their kid, are we getting traded? Are we going here? What do you mean? And then the next day it's something, and they just don't want to deal with it. You know, and to get back to Yelich, 5 years, $58 million. That's nothing in baseball terms for a player of his magnitude. But yet fans will think, oh, I could give him like four of our prospects or Ian Happ. No. You're getting Christian Yelich. You're giving up your very best.
Yeah, way more than, I mean, Jose Quintana was on a great deal, but where the White Sox were in the rebuild, they were happy with Eloy Jimenez, a top three prospect in baseball, but the Cubs don't have that anymore. So even though they're getting a similar guy, Yelich and Quintana were both under team control for a while, under great deals, but you're not going to get that anymore because the Cubs don't have the farm system that they did even 6 months ago. So it's definitely, I'm curious to see where they go, like the Yelich thing in particular. I'm going to watch Yelich rumors, you know, throughout the entire mm-hmm. season. And maybe they'll end up trading him before July or maybe a year or maybe even 2 years from now. The Marlins decide to finally take a call. But either way, I think the Cubs are going to be in on it until the end
just based on the fact that they have to be. Like, how do you not with a guy like that?
Yeah, I'll be surprised unless the price comes. See, if he was making three times the money, it might be a perfect fit. Mm-hmm. We'll take the money, give you less. But when you're getting a team contract, friendly contract like that, very tough.
I know we've hit on most of the points, and we want everyone to read your article on NBCSportsChicago.com, but was there something you haven't hit on right now that you just found was really intriguing from your conversations with these different GMs? Again, I know we've hit on a lot of it. If there was anything kind of like...
I think we've hit on all of it. You know, the one was, you know, can we get this guy and only give up that? It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
You're not going to get a guy who doesn't make huge money. And the other thing was, one GM said to me, the market's changed. From when Rick Hahn jumped the market last year, Derek Jeter's not going to be able to get the haul back that he thinks he is, because guys value prospects more than ever before, mm-hmm. as they see what the Cubs and the Astros have been able to do.
Yeah.
It's just not going to be that easy to pry Yelich and Archer. And he said, the other thing he said to me was, he goes, do you really think Theo and Jed would give up 4 years of Mike Montgomery, 4 years of Addison Russell, and 4 years of Ian Happ, and trade him to Baltimore for 1 year of Manny Machado?
No.
He said Theo's the guy who makes the reverse deal.
Yeah.
There's no
Arietta's or the Addison Russell's.
He said no shot.
Yeah.
So this is the new normal then, is the prospects and everything else, but the offseason like this. We're going to have to wait Cubs convention to find, or like these other team conventions in January. I mean, half the market's out there. Like, I think it's, what, 7 of the top 10 free agents.
Haven't signed.
We're going to be listening to Scott Boras at winter meetings hold court for like 2 hours with the media now instead of one.
Well, maybe the Machado price.
My shoulder and back is going to kill.
Maybe Machado's, the price to acquire Machado comes down, and the Cubs could sign him to an extension. But I just don't see them giving up team control on three guys.
No,
I'd be surprised.
I don't either.
Well, switching gears a bit, Cubs convention is this weekend.
Yeah, Friday.
Yeah, what are you guys looking forward to? Anything particular? I know you guys will have
to see if there's a surprise when they introduce the players.
That would be really cool.
No more Kerry Wood, but maybe Jake Arrieta?
Never know.
That would be neat.
I can tell you the Cubs privately are not looking at the convention going, oh, we got to get something done. Theo will make a deal, he and Jed, when it's time.
When the time's right, yeah. Well, and aside from that, the obvious, I mean, Tony, I'm interested in getting to know and the new guys, honestly, that we've been talking about, Chatwood and Morrow, excuse me, sorry, still fighting a cold, but also, and even guys like Justin Wilson. There's a guy we haven't talked about or really seen since the very last day. We know how difficult the end of the year was for him and how disappointed he was in himself. Like, what has he done in the last few months to get himself back into what could be that closer role if he really is as dominant as he was at one point with Detroit? Like, so there's conversations that I'm really excited to have. I mean, Kyle Schwarber, we all know. We've all seen the TMZ photos. Not really TMZ, but we all know he's been losing a lot of weight and the workouts. And why? Why was this the offseason he was so adamant to make a change? You know, what is behind it? And
getting sent to the minors.
Well, I'm sure. And, you know, though, also anytime you know people who have made life or transitions like that, there's always one point in his, and this is as a former athlete, I'm so
there's a flash
interested.
Point.
Somewhere in his workouts recently, he came up against something that was impossible or would have been impossible, whether it was just something in a workout or a change in his diet. And I want to know what that one thing was that he had to overcome, because in the last few months there's been something that he would have looked at and said, there's no chance I can do that, and now he's doing it on a regular basis.
It's cool to see.
So those are things that I'm just looking forward to, seeing the guys again and the crowd. You know, a year ago this time we were coming off a World Series, so
yeah.
What's the crowd like? Are they going to be running people over again to get into that auditorium?
Probably
on Friday night?
Cubs fans, yes.
So
you guys know it, listening. You know what you guys are going to be like.
We'll do Sports Talk Live from there.
Mm-hmm.
We'll cover the opening ceremonies. Kelly will be all over the interviews. You'll be there. We'll have a good time.
And we'll head off to Kerry Wood's event.
Yes, that too. And beer money from there.
Beer money from, yeah, we'll have it all going on.
I'm curious to see, Chris Bryant, I think, is the most interesting guy to talk to, because he said at the end of last year that he was tired and he mm-hmm. was mentally drained. I'm curious to see what it was like, his first offseason being married, his first offseason kind of being away from this. I'm curious to see if he's more recharged now and what that means for the former MVP moving forward as well. All right, that'll do it on our Cubs Talk podcast this week. Again, we are sponsored by Wintrust. Head to wintrust.com/Cubs for more info. And head to nbcsportschicago.com/podcast where you can find all of our Cubs Talk podcasts. Thanks.